minutes here in the book of Acts. And I just want to look at some of the priorities of the early church, the pattern that we have in these days, the pattern for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ should be following the example that was given by the early church. As the church began, was born there on the day of Pentecost. And this gives us a little insight into this, some important priorities. Acts 2 and 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed worked together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. There are a lot of things that were priorities of the early church. The early church grew at an unprecedented rate. 3,000 were added. The word went forth and 3,000 were baptized. 3,000 souls were added to the church in one event. Incredible and miraculous move of God. I really think that the fact that the early church, they gave emphasis to some things that were really important. Primarily, they gave emphasis to the Word of God. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, it says. And verse 41 says, they that gladly received the Word. It was the emphasis upon God's Word, the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Now, out there in the Oklahoma area there where we're from, the church that I grew up with, that building no longer exists. I usually drive by there because now it's just a business property. But it used to be a church, Pentecostal church. I grew up in that church. And the older I get, the more that I have a deep appreciation for what happened in my younger years. Because I realize now that I literally had opportunities that some don't have. And I want to make sure that right here in our church, that our children, both on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night, that they are learning God's Word. Because there's a lot of things to learn, but the most essential thing is that they learn the Bible, learn the Word of God. And so my growing up years, Sunday school, VBS, the children's ministry and youth services and things of that sort, and then just going to church, three or four times a week like we did then, we were indoctrinated in the Word of God. We learned the Bible and learned a lot about the Word of God. It's a sad thing to think that people could be in a church for years and not know what they believe and not know what the Bible teaches. And so it should be. It was a priority in that first century church. It has to be a priority in our church that there is this continual effort to teach and to preach the Word of the Lord. And to be able to, because we understand that the Word of God has power. It is not a dead book, a dead letter. It is a book that has power. And so the word of God goes forth, and when it goes forth with power, then there is change. And so when people hear the word and learn the word of the Lord, it changes them. Amen. God's word will change you. It will impact your life. It will mold your thinking. It will mold your worldview. It will affect how you'll look through God's word as a lens, and you'll look at even like the events that Faye's talking about, and we'll look at current affairs and things that are going on in our world. We'll look through it all through the lens of God's word. And when we do, then we see it from a different perspective than the world does. Amen. But it says in verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That was a priority in that church. It was like number one on the list. The apostles' doctrine was the number one thing. You say, well, I thought that the number one thing in the church ought to be love, or it ought to be, you know, serving, or even missions, or, you know, all those things are valuable. All those things are biblical and important. But the first century church, they laid their first emphasis upon the teaching and the preaching of the word of God, because it gave to them a foundation. It gave to them, you know, a strength of character. It put strength in their life to the point that they were able to face the challenges they did and to do the things that they were able to accomplish through the power of God's word. So I want our children to be indoctrinated in the apostles' doctrine. Amen. Our young folks to know what the Bible teaches, and for it to be something that shapes their life. And so the apostles' doctrine was the word doctrine. As a matter of fact, the word doctrine gets a bad rap in the church, because a lot of times people will say, well, we don't really care that much about doctrine. It's not all that's important. Just as long as we can know the Lord or feel the Lord and feel his presence, that's all that really matters. Oh, no. You've got to have something that will give you some stability in your life, that will carry you through the storms and the trials, and will be a rock-solid foundation in your life, because things are not always going to go along easy. And it's not always going to be, you know, how you feel. You're going to face some times where you don't feel anything, and you have to have something to stand on, something to build your life on. So we want to put the strength of the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It's not that feeling isn't important. We know that we can feel and sense the presence of God, and we are grateful for the way that God works and moves in our lives. But the priority of the early church, the thing that really gave them strength and gave them power to do what they did, was they were taught God's word. Amen. They knew the Bible. So it's an important priority. The prophet Hosea said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We do need to know the word of God. And even in many places in the Old Testament, I forget the number, I was looking this up, but over 800 times in the Old Testament, whenever the heart is mentioned, it's not referring to, like, you know, the heart, the emotions, but it's actually talking about your mind. And so you need to have, you need to have the knowledge of the Lord. And you need to know God's word. It shapes your life. It shapes your character. It shapes your worldview. It gives you the ability to stand strong no matter what you face. Amen. So the word of God has got to be put into our hearts. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The mind and the heart, it's a closely knit thing. as far as our understanding of the scriptures. When you know the Bible, the word of God that has power, these 3,000 souls heard the word of the Lord and were converted, and the church exploded with growth as a result of hearing the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. It is not a dead letter. It is a living book, and it can bring hope and even victory into your life. Amen. It is the truth that will set you free. If you're battling in circumstances of your life, you're battling with problems and you're overwhelmed by questions and you don't know what's next or what to do or where to turn, the truth is where freedom comes from. Amen. Just spend time with God. Spend time in the Word of God and take advantage of instruction and teaching and preaching in the Word of the Lord. It will give you strength of soul and character so that you can face the challenges. It can provide the victory that you need. You cannot grow in the Lord without the Word of God. You just cannot. You grow because of the Word of God. Second Peter. I typed these scriptures out, or copied these scriptures, because I can't read my own writing very much. But 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. That is how that we are able to grow in the Lord. It's through the knowledge of His Word, knowing the Word of the Lord. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere or the pure milk of the Word. It is the Word of the Lord that causes you to grow. If you're a new Christian, someone that hasn't served the Lord very long, what do they need? They need the Word of the Lord. They need the sincere, the pure milk of the Word to be able to grow. Eventually they can move into the meat of the Word, but they need the milk of the Word as they get started in their walk with the Lord. But you need the pure Word of the Lord. They say that you are what you eat physically. The same thing is true spiritually. If you're feeding on everything else except God's Word, you're going to be struggling in your walk with God. You're going to be struggling in your spiritual walk. You need the truth of God's Word. You need to learn how to study the Bible. Amen. Read it, yes, but study the Word of the Lord. You need to learn how to go through the Word of the Lord and rightly divide the Word of truth. Spend time in the Word of the Lord. Don't just read it to get a job done, just to, you know, get your duty done of my whatever verses you've committed to. I'm going to read certain number of verses or chapters in the Bible every day. Don't turn your Bible reading into a duty, but instead ask the Lord to speak to you through His Word. Open your eyes, enlighten your eyes and your understanding of the Word of God. Ask the Lord to help you to see the message that is for you as you go through those verses in the Word of the Lord. That's how you are strengthened. That's how you are fed in the Word of the Lord. Amen. Now, the apostles' doctrine, the apostles had spent 3 years or so walking with Jesus, spending time with Him, hearing Him teaching as He taught the multitudes of people. They were right there with Him. They heard Him. They were indoctrinated from Jesus, by Jesus Himself. But they also used the Old Testament in their preaching. You can see that example in this sermon here in Acts chapter 2, which was Peter's sermon as he stood up on the day of Pentecost. You can notice that in that sermon that he goes back he talks about David in verse 25, and he speaks about David declaring and prophesying Jesus coming, the Messiah coming and being resurrected from the dead. And he goes back to David and preaches from the Old Testament. The apostles' doctrine was teaching them the word of the Lord. When he talks about from Joel, he says, they're not drunk as you seem, but this is like was prophesied by Joel the prophet. And so he goes back to those Old Testament scriptures, and he's teaching them and preaching to them from the word of the Lord and helping them to see the truths of God's word. That was the apostles' doctrine. They spoke from the law and the prophets. They spoke of what they knew of from their times under the ministry of Jesus. So whenever they stood up to speak, they spoke with power and authority, such power and authority that lives were changed. 3,000 souls were saved. Amen. And so we don't need to think, and I've been around Pentecost, of course, all my life, but whenever the Spirit of God interrupts a service and there is no preaching in a service, I understand that that's a wonderful thing whenever God is moving, and I have no problem with it at all. I'm on board. I want God to move. But I also know that much of the time, the way that God works and moves is through the declaration, the teaching, and the preaching of the word of the Lord. Just as much a move of the Spirit as any other activity that might be going on. I'm for the demonstration of the gifts. I'm for, you know, the wonderful times of praise, and I believe in the Pentecostal experience. But I also believe that it's important that we are taught, indoctrinated in the word of the Lord, and we know what we believe. Amen. Praise God. Let's read here a little bit more here in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them and put them in hold, actually arrested them, until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Praise God. The word of God was preached. Yeah, it also stirred up some resistance and opposition, but it still hit its target. It was still received. And 5,000 souls were born into the kingdom of God. Now look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. Daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Everywhere they went. If it was in the homes, if it was in the temple, wherever they were, wherever they had the opportunity, wherever they had the audience, they declared the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They preached the apostles' doctrine. Amen. Acts 6 and 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Why did it happen? Because the word of God increased. There was more exposure to the truth of God's word, and the more it was preached, the more it was proclaimed, the more people's hearts were touched, and faith grew, and people reached out in faith and were born again, and their lives were changed, and revival came to Jerusalem, and revival came everywhere because of the declaration of the word of the Lord. Amen. Romans 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We believe that. We all believe that. But you have to read on in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. The word of the Lord, the exposition of the scripture, the teaching of the word of God, the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is power in God's word. It is powerful. The word of God is powerful. It is quick. It's sharp. It's powerful than a two-edged sword. It is able to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is quick, it's sharp, it's powerful, and it can get down to the very root of the cause and the need and the problems that people have through the proclamation of the word of the Lord. That was the apostles' doctrine. And they preached and they declared the word of the Lord everywhere they went, and lives were changed by the word of the Lord. Amen. So that was the first priority. I don't have time to go on to any of the other priorities here tonight, but that was the first priority. And it's important that we understand how valuable that it is, that as a Sunday school teacher or a group leader on Wednesday night or whatever your calling and position and opportunity is, that the Lord, that the most important thing to the New Testament church was declaring the word of the Lord, preaching the gospel, preaching the word of the Lord, and it had power. Power to impact lives. Power to change lives. Praise God. And I'm quite confident, even though that church building that I grew up in is gone, the building is gone. It's kind of symbolic because things like that are temporal. But the word of the Lord that was taught to me as a little boy in Sunday school classes by teachers that were interested enough to prepare and study. I've told you about the teacher I had when I was a junior boy who built a sandbox in the center of the floor in the classroom. And he led us through the wilderness journeys all through the sandbox when I was a junior boy. He had us captivated, completely captivated. We learned the word of God as we were taught, as I was just a child. At VBS, that was like an event every year. Back then they had them for 2 weeks. 2 weeks and classes teaching the Bible, teaching God's word, and plus the pastors preaching and evangelists preaching and down through the years. So that building is gone, but there are some things done in me and done in many, many other people that impacted my life that have carried me through these many years. The influence of God's word. And I want to see that kind of a thing duplicated right here at our church. I don't want us to get careless with this most important task. Amen. Declaring the word of the Lord. Amen. And understanding that it has power to bring change and to bring hope and salvation to people. Praise God. Father, thank you for the power of your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can see our life and we can see our world circumstances through the lens of your word, because, Lord, your word has been implanted in our hearts. Your word, Lord, has made an impact upon us. Help us, Lord, to hunger, to long for more, to know more, to spend more time, Lord, study in looking into the perfect law of liberty, looking into your word, Lord, and allowing you, Lord, to speak to us and to direct us and to change our lives. Praise God. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. And may we as a church make this a priority just like that first century church did. In Jesus' name, praise God.